And this is, for those visiting, this is not my normal posture. I still stand and do all of that, but it's easier for Cheryl, and these are kind of comfy, though, aren't they? Yeah. We're going to share a little bit tonight, not a whole lot tonight, because that's going to be a celebration. I don't know what the kids have planned. They haven't told me what they want me to do. They just want me to show up, us to show up, and so we're going to do that. After service, second service today, we're going to take the two little ones, and we're going to go up to the camp and kind of close it out from a group that's up there, and then we'll just show up. So hopefully everything will be set up. Hopefully there'll be everything arranged, and if not, it's okay with me. We're going to have a good time tonight, and I hope you can join us. And if you can't, though, we are not offended at that. We know some of your schedules won't allow it, but I hope that that you can come and share this great mark with us. And as the kids have been saying, this is a big year for Cheryl and I. This year we celebrated 45 years of marriage, and then I turned 65. I won't tell you how old Cheryl just turned, but she's younger. And then, of course, we have been here pastoring 40 years. Technically, our first service at Battleground in the small building before the addition was on to the small building was on a Wednesday, September 21st. That was our first service. And so this coming Wednesday really is kind of technically the first will be 40. And then our first Sunday that we were here was the following Sunday, which will be next Sunday. But next Sunday, Cheryl and I have to be gone for some other duties. So this was the Sunday that we officially said that, you know, we've been here 40 years. And I want to talk a little bit about that in light of how the Lord has helped us. And there's a little passage in the Bible that says, "Hitherto the Lord has helped us." And that really describes, in my opinion, what 40 years has been. Hitherto the Lord has helped us. He has helped us. And I know that 40 years in the same pastorate is not unheard of. There are pastors who have been longer, but the majority of pastors stay a shorter time. And that's fine. For whatever reason, their denominations move them around, and that's fine. But our organization doesn't do that. When we appoint a pastor and his family to a church, they're appointed for life or until they feel their time is done. And so we don't move people around. So when we were sent to Battleground, we were appointed to Battleground, we could stay as long as we wanted. And so that's why we've been here 40 years, because this congregation has treated us so wonderful, and we just didn't want to move, and we didn't want our kids to have to move, and we didn't feel God wanted to move us, and we still feel that way. And so 40 years pastoring a church, though when people talk to me, they say that's so unusual these days. I'm not sure of the statistics. I think one of the averages I heard not long ago was the average pastor stays probably between 2 and 5 years in a pastorate. So, and there's reasons for that, you know, and I won't question that. But for us, we've had the privilege of being here. Now, some of the congregation may feel like it hasn't been a privilege. You know, I keep thinking to myself, maybe they, you know, they need a new face, a new name. Maybe some would have rather seen several pastors come through so you get more of a flavor. But I guess in my heart of hearts, I've always felt that this congregation loved us and we're glad that we were here. And if that's not the case, don't tell me. But it has been an incredible journey. And in the way of, you know, introductory remarks, and then I'm going to let Cheryl share. When I talked to Cheryl about this morning, I said, "Sweetheart, I really think it would be good for both of us to share in the time allotted for us that what particular scriptures have helped us in this journey." And so that's what I'm going to do. And then I think Cheryl will do the same thing. And My life verse that I memorized as a young person in my home church was Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that verse was more than just something I was encouraged to memorize. It was something that became a life verse for me. It was a verse that I would go back to time and time again whenever I was questioning the will of God or wondering about the will of God or seeking the will of God for not only my life but that of my family as well. And in the old Bible it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. And that became a life verse for me because I wanted the will of God in my life. My grandmother taught me that the only way to be happy is to follow the will of the Lord. No matter how difficult that might be, no matter how easy that might be, the only way to be happy is to really follow the will of the Lord. And so when I memorized Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it became my life verse, that's what I wanted. Lord, what is your will for my life? And so 40 years ago, 40 years and a couple months ago, when this church became open, the church here had had two pastors, the founding pastors, Brother and Sister Eldred, who have now gone to be with the Lord, Kathy Goff and Janet Adams, father and mother, pioneered this church, planted this church. And they were here and built the first part of the little building and started actually in a building where our sign is now, that at one time was billed as Clark County's smallest church. And it was a cute little building. And it was here when we came, and but because of weather and everything, it got so bad we had to tear it down. But and then following the Eldridge retirement, then Brother and Sister Ellis came and stayed for 2 years. And then we came and have been here 40. And so we have had a wonderful foundation to build upon, but when we were praying about coming to this church and applying for it, when the invitation came out for applications, we were happy doing what we were doing, but God began to speak to our hearts, and he did that in a number of ways, and you've heard some of those stories, and I may share a little bit tonight, but at the end of the day, we felt the Lord wanted us to apply for the church, and so we did. We put in our application, and we were accepted, and our district board appointed us, and our then superintendent, Brother and Sister Maul, they came and brought us, introduced us. We'd never seen the church before. We don't have tryouts in our organization. We have a board of ministers who appoint to our churches, and so we'd never been here before, and we drove into town and parked the trailer, and Brother Maul said, here's your new pastors, And I think we had 60 people, that's kids, teenagers, children, and a few dogs and cats. And we counted everything in those days. We started from there. And two of the first people that we met when we came were Brother and Sister Harvey. They were he was our head usher. Sister Harvey was our nursery keeper. And most everyone that started, that were here when we came, has now either moved on or gone to be with the Lord. Sister Harvey remains. Sister Harvey, thank you for sticking with us all of these years. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and it's been a wonderful journey. But I wanted the will of the Lord. And so Romans 12, 1 and 2 became very important to me. And we really felt this was God's will. And looking back now, I believe that it was. But then through that 40 years just doesn't come and go. Through that 40 years, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has been my go-to verse. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And through this 40 years, I thought of 40 years, I thought of the most famous 40 years in the Bible, of course, is Moses and the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Yeah, and then they found the promised land. Now, I'm not making the connection that somehow after 40 years I'm going to find the promised land. I don't want to go yet. But it's interesting in the life of Moses that his life is broken down into three sets of 40. For 40 years, he lived as the Egyptian fair son of Pharaoh. adopted, saved from the river journey. And then the next 40 years of his life was spent in the desert of Midian with herding sheep. And there he married his wife Zipporah. And then the last 40 years of his life was spent wandering in the wilderness with the children of Israel, getting them to the promised land. And then at 120 years old, the Lord took him. Now, I'm not prophesying that I'm going to live to 120. I really don't know that that would be... I don't know what I would be like at 120.
Logan said 200.
Logan said 200. All right. But what I am saying is that 40 is significant in this sense, that God has enabled us to be a part of this community and this church, Landmark Church, through all of those years, and it's been wonderful. And as Moses in the wilderness, we have seen miracles, we have seen challenges, we've seen victories, we've saw amazing provision, we have made some good choices, and I won't say we, I have made some bad choices through those 40 years, but we've always seen God's presence, we've always had God's strength, and we've always known God's peace through those 40 years, and we thank Him for that. We've had good people in the church to support us. The congregation and the complexion of the congregation has changed a number of times over 40 years because people come, people go be with the Lord. My list of funerals is really, really big. My files, my list of weddings are really, really big. My baptismals have been really, really big. But we have always had a group of people that loved us and supported the ministry. We've had a great community to raise our children in, and we have had good friends in this community that may never attend this church, but they have been good friends to us and in some cases consider us pastors to them. And that is very, very rewarding as well. But through 40 years, we, the Statton family and Landmark Church, have grown together to where we are today. And so it's because I believe, part of which is because I desperately wanted to be in God's will. And so I said, Lord, whatever it is you want for us, that's what we want to do. As difficult as it may be, or as great as it may be, I want your will to be done in my life. And I know that according to Proverbs, in all my ways I'll acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. Commit your life to the Lord, etc. So with that little introduction, I'm going to turn then to Cheryl and let her share a little bit this morning in the way of encouraging wherever you are in your journey today. Sweetie?
Just for the record, when we came up here, I said, do we have a house? We hadn't seen the church. We didn't really know a whole lot except that God had said go. And so it was kind of like Abraham, you know, go. Okay, we'll go. Because we want to obey. But is there a house there? Do we have a house to move into? I have a little boy that's going to be 3 next month. I need a house for him. And Brother Maul said, I think that the former pastors, I think that they're going to rent you their house. Well, I didn't want the I think, I wanted the I know. But they did, and so we were good. But it's quite a place to be when you don't know what's going to happen. You're not sure exactly where you're going to end up, who you're going to be around, and you're leaving everything you know. Except God. God's what makes a difference. And you have grown to be so much more to me than I can even express to you today. I love you. You're part of our family. Not only were we raised in a family, but God gave us a family. And it's grown, and like he said, it's changed through the years. But very, very precious to us, and we love you. That said, in describing the time the 40 years. One of the verses for me is Lamentations 3:23. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, to me. Your mercies are new every morning. And my hope is in him. And I praise him for that. Because he's been faithful to me. In so, all those areas, he said, he's been faithful. And I praise him for that. And he will be faithful to you. He will never, ever not be faithful. Amen. It's against his nature. And I love him for that. My life verse, one of my life verses has been Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. I want to read that. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end or a future and a hope. And then shall you call upon me, and you will pray to me, and I will hear you. And you'll seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, said the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he has plans for us. And those plans are great. They're greater and bigger than you can possibly imagine. Because that's how it's been for me. I had dreams and I had plans, but they were down here where God's was way up here. So if we put our life in his hands, then he just brings everything else to pass. And he brings things into our lives that we never would have imagined. And places that we go that we never would have dreamed that we would ever go. And things that we will get through that we never thought we'd ever make it through. So he has a future and a hope for all of us today. And when we seek him, we'll find him. When we seek him with all of our hearts. So, and never ever get to the place where we think that we've arrived. Because we haven't. There's so much more to go. So much more to do for him. Another verse for me, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is another one of my go-tos, too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That trust means to have full confidence in him. And so, you know, in serving the Lord, we have to have confidence in him. Confidence that he loves us. Confidence that his word is true. Confidence that what he said he will do, he will do. Mm-hmm. Confidence that he is a big and awesome God. And he can't go against his character. Confidence in him. That's what trust means. Trust him with all your heart. It means to not ever, ever think that, oh, well, he'll do this for them, but he won't do this for me. Right. No, that's not what it means. It means that I have confidence, God, that you love me. And you care about me. You know where I am right now. And your concern is with me. And I think if we can get that into our hearts, then everything else will fall into place. I was 23 when we came here. 23, that's my oldest grandchild. 23. And you do the math and you know how old I am today. But through it all, he's been faithful and he's been good. And when I've sought him with all my heart, he's always been there. My other verse would be Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Actually, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a great scripture. Amen. One of my favorites. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. That's what that means. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Rejoice, it says. And again, I say rejoice. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. God had that song before it ever was published. And the peace of God will come. And I've seen that happen in so many times, I can't even tell you. When I've been worried or stressed or concerned or anxious, and because that anxiousness means to agitate like a washing machine. That's what worry does to us. And when the peace of God comes, it's just like he just takes all that away, and you're at peace knowing that no matter what happens, God is in control and you can trust him. Confidence again. Prayer. My son called me a prayer warrior a few weeks ago. I don't know as if that's a word for me. I pray because I have to. I pray because that's what keeps me going, keeps me connected to the one that's in charge. I pray because that's where our power comes from. That's where our strength comes from. I pray because I have to. If I'm going to make it through everything that I face in all my days, I pray because I can't do it without it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the thing I think I've learned about prayer more than anything is that there are so many distractions in life, so many things that take us away from who he is and what he wants to do in us and how he wants to use us today to meet somebody's need or encourage some life today. So many distractions. Not only are there distractions in our mind and what the enemy would try to do, but just living life and children and grandchildren and husbands and wives and friends and life itself. Sorrows, and the news is so close to us to where we can know what's happening around the world and with just seconds. And sometimes I think, Lord, I don't know if that's good or not. It just makes you worry all the more. The phones and the iPhones and the iPads and all those things, you know, they can become, all of them can become distractions and take us away from what's most important. Now, all those things are part of life and they're part of how we live, but I think that what I've learned is balance. And I'm so grateful he's preached balance all the years that I've known him, he's preached balance in things. And I'm so grateful because there's a balance in all that stuff, because it's living life. But if you can start your day or take time in your day to just get alone with the Lord, to focus on him and who he is and give all your things to him, then you're able to handle whatever the day holds, and you're open to whatever he would speak to you so you can minister to other people. And that's how I've tried to live my life. And there's something I wanted to share with you. Let me get it on my iPhone. They do come in handy, not just distractions. If I can find it here, there we are. If I can leave you with anything, I think today is that in the 40 years that we've been here, the 63 years of my life, I think the most important thing that I have learned is that prayer is powerful, mm-hmm. that God is big, and he wants to do huge things in our lives, and his faithfulness will carry us through if we just trust in him. Because there is a battle that we fight, a battle and a war that is raging, and he needs warriors. He needs warriors to stand in the gap for people. He needs us to be on our knees, because when we're on our knees, we win battles. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just say this song. I can taste the fear, but I choose courage. As I raise my shield and I lift my sword, and I fall on my knees and I fight like a warrior. I am a warrior on my knees. I call on the name of the one who is conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror when I believe. The enemy trembles every time because he knows the battle is no longer mine. When I fall on my knees and I fight like a warrior on my knees. He knows the battle's no longer mine. When we get on our knees or in any posture of prayer you want to be, then the enemy knows, I'm not going to win this one.
Amen.
And you know, if we can just know the importance of that and remember that, because it's on my knees when my children, I didn't know what to do. It was on my knees. When my husband would come discouraged or defeated or facing situations that I knew he didn't know what to do, it was on my knees. When my he told you about Eddie and when he needed those shoes. Oh Lord, we didn't have any money that at that point of time to buy shoes. I mean, there was a little bit, but not what he needed, because they were $100 pair of shoes. And today that might not be a whole lot, but back then that was a ton. And I remember I said, Lord, you know, he needs those shoes. It's not a want, it's a need. He needs those. And what are we going to do? It was on my knees. And then the enemy's right there saying, okay, so you've put this before him to pray. Pray for these shoes. Wanting to build faith in him, but what happens when God's not going to do that? There was just something, like the air went out of my balloon, and I got on my face and I said, Lord, no, when faith meets the God you know, mm-hmm. when your faith meets the God you know, and it's on my knees when that happened, and I said, thank you, Lord, I know you're going to meet this need. I know that you are because of who you are. And it was just a few days before he actually needed them that somebody sent us $100 in the mail or something, some absolute abstract thing that we were not expecting, but God knew.
Amen.
Because my faith met the God that I know. And fear has to meet the God you know. Your fears, the things that you're fearful of, and through the years there's been lots of those, but you know what? When fear meets the God you know, your faith rises up and meets the God you know, and faith wins.
Amen.
Faith wins every time. And so I just am so grateful for the faithfulness of God, and I think I started with that one, and I think I'm going to end with that one, that he has been faithful, and he's going to continue. We've seen him do so many things because of his greatness and who he is, and he's a God of the impossible. He can do anything. He can change your situation in a moment's time. He can do anything. He can raise your faith in a moment's time if you just call upon his name. Just call upon him, trust him, and let your faith meet the God that you know. And see what he will do. Because he will do it again. He will do it again. He will move the mountains, and he will shake things that need to be shaken. And he will show himself faithful every time. We can trust him. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sweetie. Amen. So, 40 years, we didn't come saying, okay, we're going to make it through 40 years. We came believing we were going to make it one day at a time, one moment at a time. And that's what 40 years represents to us, is the God who we trusted and we trust being with us every moment of every day and being shepherds to this congregation. We were determined in all of our youth and our inexperience to try to be the best shepherds we could be to this congregation. And so we walked with you through good times. We laughed together. We cried together. We tried to stand with you when your loved ones went to be with the Lord. We tried to stand with you when tragedy struck. tried to stand with you when you were not doing well, and we tried our best to rejoice with you and over all of your victories. We've not succeeded in all of those things as well as possibly we could, but that was our heart, was to try to do that. And I would hope that in these past 40 years, there are many people who could say that for the time that Ed and Cheryl were our pastors, they did their best to help take care of us as sheep and as their earthly shepherd, not their heavenly shepherd. Some probably would not be able to say that because we have not always been the best. But through 40 years, we've learned that He is the God, not the God of 40 years. He's the God of every moment, of every moment, of every day, of every challenge, of every struggle, of every victory. The God that you face, and that, or the God that you trust today, as Cheryl has just said, each moment, each day. Thank you, and some of these thank yous belong to people who are not here today, who've gone on to be with the Lord, who've moved on to other locations. But thank you to those who drove Cheryl for those years she could not drive a car because of her illness. Thank you to those through 40 years who faithfully contributed, gave the offerings so that we could be full-time pastors and pay the bills. Thank you to those who prayed for us in the middle of the night. You didn't know what it was for, but you prayed for us. And you'd let us know later that God kept you up on our behalf. Thank you to that precious little woman who called and said, "Pastor, don't go to Seattle this weekend. God has spoke to me in a powerful way that you should not be on the road." And though I didn't understand, I listened and I followed what she felt was the Lord. Thank you to those who stood with us in the most difficult times, when we almost lost our children. But you stood faithfully in prayer. Thank you to those who worked so long and hard on this building. And when I couldn't take my kids to a soccer game or to a baseball game, you loaded them up and you took them for me so they wouldn't have to miss. And thank you to those men who that one Saturday came and took the hammer out of my hand and said, "You're leaving and going to a ball game. And we're going to work on the building." Thank you for that. Thank you for listening to 40 years worth of sermons, most of which I would hope were helpful, but some of which, looking back, I wouldn't want you to ever listen to those again. Thank you for being our friends and seeing us not just as your shepherds, but being as someone, maybe as a mother or father to you that are younger, maybe being as peers to you that are our age, and to those that are older than we are, as one of our precious 90-year-old saints told me just 2 days ago, "Stop saying you're old." And I hugged her and thanked her for that. Thank you to those who were older than we are, treating us like your children, your kids. Thank you for loving us for 40 years. You represent all of those people, many of whom you will see pictures of tonight. And please understand, when all those pictures and you start looking at them, I really was that young. And that dark spot under my nose was my attempt at a mustache. Thank you, though, for giving us the opportunity to be a part of your lives and Landmark's lives for 40 years. I don't know what God has in the future. I don't know how long we will continue as senior pastors. That's in the Lord's hands. I have no immediate plans, but one of these days, it'll be time. And when it is, I know the Lord will speak to us. But thank you for loving us, for loving our kids, for loving our grandkids, and for being really so important to us, closer than really our own flesh and blood. So thank you for 40 years. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 So, Lord, we bless these people today. We bless them and we thank you for them. We thank you for the privilege of serving in this church and our community and this state. We thank you, Lord, for an organization who saw possibilities in us and gave us this opportunity. Thank you for all those folks who could not be with us on this celebration weekend for whatever reason. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. And thank you, Lord, for the great lessons you've taught us in 40 years that really are not new. It's just really reminding us that God is a God who is faithful. And if he was faithful to this couple standing up here today, he will be faithful to everyone standing in the audience as well. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings and for the future and whatever that may hold. Thank you for being the God of the right now, the God of the right now, the God of the past, the God of the future, yes, but the God of the right now who stands beside each one and says, I love you, I care for you, and I'm going to walk with you through your walk in this earth. And then someday, Lord, we look forward to the day that we can be reunited with all of those who have gone ahead of us. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.